Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. And you can follow along with that in page 694 in your Bible. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. May God bless to our hearts and to our understanding these readings from the Holy Word. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be back with you again. It was a little warmer. I think it was July, maybe. This is here before. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so the mountains would quake at your presence. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us that we might be saved.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Thus opens the Christian year, this first Sunday of Advent. This time when we long for the coming, we pray that he will abide with us and remain with us. These texts today are sharp and jarring. They don't mince any words. They come to the point. Our longing for God. Each one of these texts refers to a time in which the people clung to the hope of change and promise. The gospel recounts a specific event in the last few days of Jesus' life when the disciples marveled at the temple. No one could imagine that it would change. And yet, if we've been going to church long enough, we've seen it change. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. This Sunday, our texts focus on longing. Longing for a new way to live. A world that is just and merciful. Yearning for a peace that is honest and true. Compassionate, healing. Aching for a world in which God's will is treasured and honored. Longing for what the Jews called shalom. And for what we called the kingdom of God or the peace of Christ. Today, American life expectancy is declining for the third straight year. Birth rates are dropping. Nearly half of us think the other political party isn't just wrong. It's downright evil. We're the richest country in history, but we've never been more pessimistic. What's causing this? Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska has just written a book called Us. I've read a review. I haven't read the book. The book is on my list. Excuse me. It's called Them. Pardon me. I got ahead of myself. In Them, best-selling author and U.S. Senator Ben Sasse argues that contrary to conventional wisdom, our crisis isn't really about politics. It's that we're so lonely we can't see straight. And it bubbles out of us like anger. Local communities are collapsing. Across the nation, little leagues are disappearing. Rotary clubs are dwindling. And in all likelihood, we don't know our neighbor two doors down. That might be different here, I don't know. Work isn't what we'd hoped. Less certainty, fewer lifelong co-workers, shallow purposes. Stable families and enduring friendships, life's fundamental pillars, are in statistical freefall. Us, he says, is being lost. I want you to look at a picture. I think you got handed one out when you got your bulletin. Looks like this, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit. This is a picture painted by a German artist, Albrecht Altdorfer, about 1513. And if you've looked at nativity pictures at any point during your life, you'll notice this is not a typical one. He painted Christ as born in a weather-beaten wreck of a house that is totally and uninhabitable. Little of the roof is left, and there's grass growing in the roof. There are no doors or windows, no floor, only dirt. The bricks are crumbling, many of them stolen or already returned to the earth, just kind of in powder that's crumbled. It is already being reclaimed by the elements. It's difficult to see, but all the experts tell me that right here, there is a cliff. This stable is only a few feet from the edge of a cliff. A bad rain and you think it might go over. Here, the Holy Family has taken refuge. Why would the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, be born here of all places? Are we really so full of ourselves that we can't make any other space available for Christ to come alive in our lives and in our culture and in our city and our town? Can we not do that? And here it is dark. There are certain little spots of glory in the sky. You see the angel and what looks probably like the moon. And three or four of those angels are holding Jesus up on the cloth to keep him from lying directly on the ground. Or is that simply a harbinger of his being lifted up in crucifixion and then raised on the third day? We don't know. It depends how we read it. In the midst of all this darkness, Joseph holds a single candle. You almost can't see it. If you told me it was a quill pen, I think I'd believe you. And shielding it with his hand to protect it from the wind. Mary has crossed her chest in prayer and is looking at this child more with dazzled exhaustion than with adoration. That all you women know is true. Exhaustion and adoration. But Joseph cocks an eye out to the heavens. From what ill wind does his hand protect that candle? Perhaps it is not so much the power of God that unsettles Joseph. Perhaps it's the fact that his whole life has been turned upside down. He can't believe this is happening. The donkey that carried Mary peers around her with curiosity. The cow in the back seems to be completely oblivious. All this on the edge of a cliff. How is God part of this? It seems like a disaster. How are we part of it? Who are we? Where are we in the picture? Are we in the dark? Are we looking for the light? Do we see a corner of the light? Do we want to grab that little toe and just wiggle it? Or are we just being oblivious like the cow, chewing her cud? Are we more like Mary, who seems to be calm and and reverent? For her, the worst is over. Perhaps we're more like Joseph, guarding, being careful, holding up that light so that the darkness can be held at bay. Are all our worldly things that we so cherish no more solid than this rundown house on the edge of a cliff? Indeed, we must wonder. We enter every year of the Christmas calendar by acknowledging the emptiness and the decay within us and around us, by confessing the distortions of our world, and by recognizing our longing for God. And by Tuesday, there will have been so many advertisements on television will have forgotten. We will have also been pulled off center. We too are tempted to be too full of our egos, too loaded down with the world's goods, too consumed with getting and gaining. But will we be so consumed with getting and gaining that we will lose sight of the Christ child? Or will we still have room for that child in our heart? Let us not be what I think in some ways is the greatest temptation in America these days, that we are so full of our own opinions and our own ideas and our own perspectives that we can't see more than 3 feet in front of us. Who will we be this Advent? Who do we wish to become this Christmas? How do we think we're going to get there? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a very famous 20th century theologian and minister, wrote, "We have to become clear in the presence of the manger, in the stable, how we want to think from this point on about what is high and what is low in human life." Where else do we seek mercy for all our betrayals, all of our weak faith, all our failures, except in the lowliness of the manger? God is not ashamed of human lowliness, but enters right into it. God chooses a human being to be his instrument and work his wonders where they are least expected. In fact, if you listen, if you pay attention this Advent, you will hear God calling you in all your loneliness and ordinariness to do something special, something that makes Jesus visible and tangible for someone else. Even in the dark, even on the edge of a cliff. If we truly long for God in our celebration, we have to allow the kingdom of God to open up within us and give us life in new ways. That's the only way we'll be anything more than bystanders on the stage. And we must be willing to be transformed and made new, even when we really don't think we want to or need to. And yet, one of the things that Ben Sasse, the senator, mentioned was, did I just lose it? We are more isolated and cut off than we have ever been. What if, in fact, this Advent, we thought about how we could bear witness to the beauty, to the health, to the promise, and the hope of the gospel right here in this country? What about that? This picture is of the birth of a child, not the revolutionary act of a strong man, or woman for that matter, not the breathtaking discovery of a sage, not the pious act of a saint. It really surpasses all our understanding. The birth of this child is to bring hope and peace and turn things around so we can see differently and let God's love flow through us. What kings and statesmen, philosophers, artists, founders of religions, moral teachers vainly strive for. It's all over the television. Everybody has a solution that will solve all your problems. his solution or her solution. And here it is. It is offered to us through a newborn child. Suppose we just open our hearts and open our arms and just listen and pay attention. Because the infinite transcendence of mercy comes to us in intimacy, in being open to the Holy One. A child has our life in his hands. Indeed, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Tear open the heavens and come down. Pierce our darkness with your light and enter even the hovels of our own hearts. Stir up your might and come to save us, O Shepherd of Israel. Restore us. Let your face shine upon us and your love flow forth from us into the world. Let us gather our hearts together that we may pray together. Come, Emmanuel, be born in our hearts, and let us find our true selves in you. Come, you who are our living water, and quench the dryness of our souls that thirst for life. Hold before us a vision of life that is truly ours because it is truly yours. Come, you who are the liberator, and free us from bondage to all that imprisons us. Shatter our prejudices, disperse our fears, crush our greed and self-satisfaction. Come, you who are perfect peace. Heal our brokenness and bind up our wounds. Help us to know that even in the eye of the storm, the stillness is the divine voice, loving us all always with a great tenderness. Create in us, O God, hearts devoted to shaping a world where lion and lamb shall lie down together, and peace and understanding may break forth. Where ears are stopped up and people cannot hear your word, let us live so that they can see your light. Where lives are crushed and spirits made lame, let us live your promise of hope, that love and peace may be restored. Where the hungry yearn for food, let us give sustenance that nourishes both body and soul. Where injustice and greed distort the life that you wish for your people, let us pursue justice with love, that lives may be made whole. Through us, may the joy of your presence flow into a weary world to bring hope and peace. Now, in a moment of silence, let us share our own individual hopes and thanksgivings, joys and releases.